often like. Most of us meditator, there's a tendency of a problem is either we think too much or we are so attached to the calmness that we don't want to think. And as a result, we find ourselves meditating only attaching to the calmness of the mind. Why? Because before we started to meditate, our mind is in the state of chaos. That means full of distracting thoughts. And we have been trying all this while very hard to calm the mind down. And finally, we are able to calm it down. So we thought that that's it. I have hit the jackpot. That should be the way. Then we thought that, well, I think Nibbana is just like that. You know, because when your mind is in the state of calmness and full of rapture, piti, just one deep breath, it makes you mentally charged, mentally happy. That's the wonder of concentration practice. Right? We have to be proficient. We got to practice until we are proficient. Right? So there were many instances, many teachers who are stuck, and you need someone who experienced to drag you out. And one of them is Lompu Thet. Okay? Lompu Thet, Thet Rangsi, he was stuck in concentration for 15 years. He meditated, and the mind just go into concentration and brightness. So the sense of rapture, happiness just arise within his mind. So he was so reluctant to contemplate. He just stuck there, stuck with what we call it comfort zone. The next one is Thanachan Mahabua Yana Sampanno. 5 years. 5 years, right? So from all these past experiences of all these great teachers that handed down their experiences, that once your mind is experienced in entering concentration, don't just stop there, right? Don't just stop there. But normally we will stop there. I'm one of them. So attached to calmness, because in the past our mind was so chaotic. You know, we try so hard to bring our mind back into the state of calmness that we never experienced before in our life. So what the hell asked me to go and think again? So there was a reluctance, you know, there was a reluctant to contemplate on this body of ours. Why? Why does the Buddha encourage us or tell us it's a must that we must contemplate our body, because we human beings, we attach the most is this body that we claim to be ours. We hold so dear to this body of ours that this is my body. Okay? This is my hair. This is my head of the body. This is my nails. This is my teeth. And this is my skin that's covering my body. Right? We can't accept the truth when our body gets sick. We start to get worried. We start to look for medicine, high and low. We start to get all kinds of treatments. But well, we got to do our duty as a human beings. We got to make use of the body, and we cannot deny it. But the problem is this attachments to this body. So how are we going to disentangle? That means understand the truth of our body. If we just sit and meditate and enjoy the calmness that arises from concentration, we are not getting anywhere, because the minute we are out from concentration, yeah, maybe we are very peaceful, very bliss. But you see how a defilement works on us. We want comfort. We want this. We want that. Right? And when our wanting has been threatened or challenged, you see how this, our mind, will take occupation in self-defense, you know, giving all kinds of excuses not to get yourself or wanting to get the thing that we want in order to satisfy this urge that arises from the mind that's so attached to the body. That's why we need to contemplate. Right? But once our mind, if we don't contemplate, or in Thai we call picharana, in Chinese we call si wei, we need to contemplate. If we don't contemplate, when the mind start to think, you can see what the mind will think. It will fall into the old way of thinking, habitual thinking, song will start to arise, song. I am sailing. Nah. Song come again. Whole day. All the eagle song streaming through my mind. See, what the heck is up there? Luckily, we are meditator. We are not agitated by this kind of memories that's surfacing through our mind. Before that, we try to deny. No, I cannot. When I meditate, I cannot afford to have this kind of thinking that's streaming through my mind. It's wrong. You see, when we don't have someone to remind us, to inform us, then we will hold on to this wrong kind of assumption that is wrong. But hey, you are a human being. How can you deny this kind of thought from arising? You have ears to listen, you listen. But you listen with wisdom that, this is the formations, the arising of memories of the past. And that's it. And this memory of the past doesn't, it is the duty of a memory to surface thing by itself. That's why the Buddha said, this five khanda is impermanent, not self. It's suffering if you attach to it. Before that, we can't accept this truth. Right? And we only want, must be Dharma memories to surface. Oh, this is Dharma surfacing from my mind. I'm a Dharma person. I should only think of Dharma thing, and no other thing should surface in my mind. And that is wrong. Good or bad, you are the one who decide. Before we come into the practicing of Buddhism, we have been absorbing all kind of rubbish in our mind. Or come encounter through the eyes, ears, all this sensory gain, whether you like it or you don't like it, they enter your mind and is registered inside our memory, whether you like it or you don't like it. Right? So if you don't discipline the mind in contemplation, in, we call it, reprogram it in a skillful way, then your mind, when it enter the concentration, and when you're out from the concentration, it's the habit of the mind to look, you know, all this kind of memories, it will start to surface, and you will just enjoy or get hallucination, get engrossed into the content of your thoughts. And this is where you will be carried away. Even though you might not be having a handphone in your hand. You see, this mental thought of ours is faster, is more interesting than this handphone. Because why? This thought arises within you. And this story making up there. And you get yourself engrossed into the thought. And this is where things start to get screwed up. And you find yourself meditating all this year, I'm not getting anywhere. I calm down my mind and back to square one. Or maybe this is the way we practice. Nah, this is another wrong assumptions, wrong understanding. You see, and our greed, hatred, delusion doesn't decrease. Our pride, our ego. You see, our supposition of who we are doesn't decrease. It only increases. This ego only increases. They are no better than me. This and that. I'm more educated. You know, we are more this and more that. You see? So all this mind-making story, all the distorted kinds of thoughts were carried away. And we enjoyed it so much. Because why? We take occupation in this kind of thought that satisfy our urge, satisfy our wanting. So if we feel that, this is Dharma, wow, this is good, I have attained something, blah, 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 blah. You got carried away by ego. You got carried away by the thing you make your own assumption and you're playing with the thoughts. You are not meditating at all. Now, so what is the right way? That's why we got to where the mind is come, right? How come is it? You yourself will know. That means you reach a state of concentration where your mind doesn't wander anymore. It doesn't go to the front, go to the back, and no thoughts of past and future is capable of disturbing this mind state, which has been stabilized by each and individual effort that you put in, right? Maybe 15 minutes, 1 hour, or maybe you enjoy the calmness of 2 hours and sort of silent, 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 no thoughts, right? Very powerful. Okay, when you start to think, when you start to contemplate the body, right, you can start with your, you know, when your breath is so refined, you can't think. So you got to withdraw. You got to, you know, let the mind withdraw back into a state where you can think. Because when your mind is very refined, it's too lazy to think. It just wants to stuck. It just wants to stay with the state of calmness where, wow, so calm, so peaceful. Why should I think? I better die here. You see? That kind of assumption. You must think. You must contemplate. Right? You must initiate the thoughts of contemplation onto our own body. Right? Of impermanence. Right? We can start with the hair. You know? We direct it to the hair, and we look at the hair. Is your hair permanent? It's just a self-dialogue within yourself. Is your hair permanent? You ask yourself, and you yourself will answer, stupid. Of course it's impermanent. Nah. How about the hair? So impermanent of the hair. How come it's permanent? We've been cutting every now and then, shaving our head. And next month, 1 inch. Shave again, 1 inch. You see? Never say shave ready, don't come out again. Unless you are bald-headed. Right. Then, what is the characteristic of the hair? So we go in some more. Oh, it's impermanent. The color changes from black to gray to white and it drops. So is it permanent? So this is the way we contemplate on the hair. And likewise with the head of the body, right, of impermanence. And you go down to your nails. We've been trimming our nails every now and then, right? And it grows, you trim again, it grows. And the kind of sickness we have, ingrown nails that you know, dig into your flesh and the kind of piles that coming out, sting, smell. You look at that. You know, we direct our mind to study, you know, to make a research on our own body. Right. What the Buddha talked about, the university of this body is to let us to do research on the impermanence of the body, of this body that is causing us suffering, you know, the nature of the body, how it's operated. So it's a kind of a biology lesson for ourselves, which, you know, generally most of us, we knew. We understand, but it doesn't sink into the mind. It doesn't sink into the mind. You got to do it every time, do it every now and then. Grill, I use the word grill, drill into the head. Bring the mind to face the truth of the body. Now, you have a job. You have a job to do. So, when your mind has been educated, when your mind has something to focus on, to do the research of this body, then you're going to have fun. Because why? The more engrossed you are engaged in the contemplation of this body of yours. Now, we see all this kind of knowledge which we never think of it. We start to think. We start to ferret out. We start to explore in the body more and more refined, right? And then from impermanent, we go to, is it a cell? Is it the body? Does it belong to me? Right? Then we go, if we have a control, then why does it go age? Why does it grow? And why does it fall sick? Why? So, because we have no control over it, right? So we start to contemplate in this way, do research from the head, hair of the head, all the way down, internal organ, every part of your body, which whatever part of the body at that time of the moment your mind let to think of, go in, drill in. You know, don't have to go into a systematic way. Sometimes you like to think of the hair, then jump to the head, jump to the brains or vein, anything. It's okay, right? You keep drilling, and then because why? You must make sure you contemplate in terms of impermanence. You contemplate in terms of no self. You contemplate in terms of if you go to attach, now who suffer? You. But your mind will say, no, I'm not going to suffer. No. You know, this is the stubborn mind. Our mind is damn stubborn. You got to do it again and again and again and again until your mind starts to get tired. Now, how do we know we are tired? That means when we contemplate, we can't think anymore. We can't think anymore. The mind just stop. Right? It just stop. It doesn't want to think. It doesn't want to stop thinking. Then you know that it's tired. And you can really feel that you are mentally tired, then you should stop. It's just a person who is physically stressed out with physical job, you should rest to gain strength of the body, right? Take a nap, get some food, take a nap, rest, and you refresh your strength. Then you go, do your job again. But as for the mind, you feel tired. That means you're mentally, like, it's very tired mentally. Then you should stop. Stop thinking. Then straight away, back to the breath. Back to put toe, back to the breath. And let it rest. Rest. How long? Individual. All right? Depending on how long you want to rest. You rest for 1 hour, 2 hours. Then you know, okay, I'm ready to go. Then you come out from the state of concentration and back to this body. So this is the way we do it vice versa. That means concentration, contemplation. Concentration, contemplation. Concentration, contemplation. Rest, work. Rest, work. Right. It's just like both hands, right hand and left hand. We've got to work. Right. Then, as we move along, what we call it, cinta manyapanya. That means contemplation is called cinta manyapanya. It's not the real wisdom. It's a kind of contemplation, a reasoning, right? Normal kind of reasoning. And the mind will come to a complete stop, right? When the mind comes to a complete stop, you see there will be a happening there. I won't tell you. You got to do it. You see? There will be a happening at that moment. Right? Individually, different people, different kinds of happening will the kind of result that will arise within your own mind. And you got to do it. Right? And you want to clear the doubt? This is how we clear it. Of course, what I'm saying here is a summary of the practice. You're going to take years, like the Buddha says, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, or 7 years. Who knows? It depends on individual karma. It depends on individual barami. Barami, the accumulation of your practice in the past. You see, and we cannot say these people, they just come and meditate. How can they know so much thing? How can they, attain this kind of a realization so fast? No. When you come to my state, it doesn't restrict whether you're lady or man, whether you're monk or bhikkhuni or what. No, it's purely my realizations. And individually, you will know. And you don't talk to people who don't practice meditation. They will say that you're crazy. You're nuts. Yeah. They will say you are nuts. When you talk about something that is your own personal experience, you try to talk to someone else that, maybe a meditation teacher or what, Like the other day, we heard about someone who was a lay meditation teacher. They said that, if you die, just die. You won't come and born again. There's no rebirth. I just said, hey, what is that? You see, so now, you got to go and talk to someone who experienced, right? And you can share the experience that can give you encouragement in the practice. If a person who doesn't experience or come across this kind of mind state, they don't know. They can't explain to you in words because it's not something that can be put in words. It's just a neighborhood kind of analogy, expression to tell that, yeah, it's something like that. But it's not the real things. The real thing is that meditator, he himself, will know from his heart that's it. This is it. Right? And there's no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. When your mind is very concentrated and when you contemplate, The insight that arises from your contemplation is very clear. Even though the nimitta, or we call visions, that arises within the meditation is very clear. Very, very clear. Right? It's not something that I think, no thinking. This is the way it is. You see? You are so affirmative of and so convicted that this is the way. Right? There's no doubt. There's no such thing. I think. No such thing as you think. You don't have to think. Yes means yes. No means no. You know? No. You don't know? Don't know. That's it. Don't know? Practice more. Don't get disheartened when we said, I think. Or when there's a I think, that means it's not the real thing. Right? When you start to practice, you know, meditation, you start to contemplate bit by bit. Right? We progress bit by bit. We understand the mind was singing with this kind of knowledge bit by bit. Why? Because we have been born. Birth, aging, illness, and death. Life after life. Don't know how many lifetimes we have been through. All kinds of beings we've been through. From hell to human being. Yeah, to this. All kinds of beings we're going through. This kind of cycle of rebirth. And back again. You see, because of this karmic link. That, yeah, we are here to share this Dharma sharing. If we don't have the karmic link, you think we will sit down here tonight? No. There are so many people up there, out there. They can be Buddhists, but they are the least interested, right? So, we have this kind of link, right? And we treasure that this Dharma sharing is a form of encouragement, that we encourage each other in the roots of this, you know, the roots to practice for the liberation of our own mind. And of course, individually, you got to put in your effort. No one can do for you. No such thing as after listening to the talk, okay, tomorrow I want to, you know, I got one monk in Malaysia. He's quite funny. He said, this year I want to become Sotapan. I said, huh? You can decide? Yeah. And then next year, I bet him, I would become Sakadagami. I was sort of, this guy is cracko. He read too much books. Another year, he would become Anagami. And then, so when are you going to become Arahant? So he got very offended. Why? Because you cannot understand, underestimate me, Tan King. I said, no. I fully agree with you. I anumodana sato, rejoice with attainment. Because if practicing is so easy, like what you say, yeah, I want to practice with you. So I say, what is your experience? Please share some experience. Share, you know, what is the experience you've been through? What when the mind breakthrough? How is it like? You know, everything he described all from the books. from Visuddhimagga. I said, when I listened to him, I said, psh, how do we talk? It's not that we are running him at another person now, down. No. Because you just read book, you don't practice. You got to practice. You're just reading a map, but doesn't work. The whole day, I'm going to walk from here to Paloma Mountain, then point A, point B, point C, in a map, onto the map. But let me tell you, when you do the real walking, it's damn killing. Up the hill, you know, with your backpack on your back. You think it's so easy, like ABC level of thinking, like thinking about Nibbana. Oh, how good is it to be Nibbana? Wow, this and wow, that. You see? But we come to a right practice then, especially when we're encountering pains. Right? This is one of the most critical, difficult parts for most of the meditators, whether you are monks, ordained or not ordained, we are human beings. Right? We don't like pain. We see pain, we experience pain, straight away, we change leg. We never allowed ourselves to take the challenge to say, look here, can you take the pain on? Can you take him on? It's your own body. Okay. How about 2 hours? Don't move. You see how your mind scream. How your mind will scream. How your mind will start to make all kinds of excuses, all kinds of swearing and cursing, you know. But let me tell you, you will feel very relief when you hit the 2 hours. Then you have the confidence, the kind of confidence, the kind of faith that, wow, I can sit 2 hours. You got to use I first. Don't every time let go. Sometimes you must grab onto your ego a bit. I can do it. Yeah, do it some more. 3 hours. You hit 3 hours. Some more. 4 hours. Some more. 5 hours. Some more. Don't move. Don't move. If die, die. Right? You must have this kind of persisting effort to push until you sit. And then you, when your concentration is very strong, when you start to contemplate into the body, let me tell you, it's very fast. Sometimes, one time only, pop, you understand. It's just like when we are doing construction, right? We have the formwork, right? So we know that we got to let the cement cured. We pour cement, you let it cured. Don't take out the formwork yet. We've got to let it cure. Leave it there. Right? For 1 day, 2 day, we take out the formwork, we've got to put water every day to cure the cement. Don't be in a hurry to put out the poles. You've got to break the cement. So this is how, it's the same thing with meditations. Right? We've got to make the foundation very, very strong. When your foundation is strong, okay, no problem. When you start to contemplate into the body, straight away, because of the power of your concentration, the minute you focus into the body, it's just like a camera snap. Pop! It's just a video, you know? Just like a video. You just on the button, top in front of you, your head. Okay, chop away the head. Pull! You can see the blood just shoot up. That shows that your concentration has gained enough strength. It's powerful. Your battery is powerful enough to project your this kind of contemplation to educate the mind. Because the mind always refuses to look into the impurity of our body. It always refuses, let me tell you. When you start to contemplate, there is an anti. There's a called antipathy inside you. Nature, we just watch nature. What for going watching this impurity of the body? You get discarded with the body, and then this, and then that. You see? All these are defilement. The body never say anything. But we need to make use of this memory of ours to direct the mind to see the truth. You see? That's why we say, do research. Do research into your own body of impurity. How impurity can it be? How rotten can it be? How stink can it be? Yeah? And when the thing gets rotten, what is the... How does it look like? Let me tell you. You can go into this stage. Sometimes the minute you start to contemplate, you start to vomit. It's so disgusting. And it's okay, right? It's okay. Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you just get dispassions. You cry. And yeah, this is why we meditate. To make the mind understand that, hey, this so-called body of yours, this so-called my body that we so called, we hold so dearly of my body. You see the truth? Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's going to be like that one day. Right? And you can see the symptom of the mind. The more you contemplate into the impurity of the body, the more your mind will get detached from the body, the more the mind will feel a sense of lightness within the body, within the mind, the lightness. It's just like a balloon. Keep floating up, floating up, floating up, floating up. And the mind just... And inside, you have a sense of... You know, it's very hard to describe the sense of happiness, the sense of realize that you can cry, you can break down and cry, how stupid am I? Wow, how stupid am I? You can cry, sit in, and sort of, okay, yeah, okay, this is the truth of this body. So how am I going to practice? I'm a human being. Mindfulness, none. Maintain mindfulness throughout the whole day of your life. Everything you do, maintain your mindfulness. Maintain the routine they will be doing all this while as per normal, that nothing has happened. But within your own heart, within your own understanding, you have come to a what we call sammatiti. The right view arises when your mind comes to a state of right concentration, and you know you hit the right button, boom, inside. The right view. Now, our view is supposition view. That means we read from books, we hear from talks, right? And it doesn't bring into the heart. The heart still, you know, still got a kind of, well, maybe. And you still have doubts. You see, still that kind of 50-50 kind of, well, I still don't see it yet, but I will try. I give myself some time to try. So the kind of conviction is not there. The kind of confidence, the faith in the practice is not fully, you know, fully endorsed into the heart. But when you start to contemplate into the body, every now and then, you see the truth one every day. You see, you educate your mind every day. And when your mind come to a state of acceptance of the truth, it just endorses. Boom! The mind that's happening within each and individual, you know, it just explodes. Boom! Everything just disappeared and it just left this mind. This pure state of mind is bright and sort of, wow, what is that? What is that? You look at things around you. It's not like before. Last time, there's a lot of supposition, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, it's just everything just completely quiet. No thought, no nothing. And it's just totally bliss, right? And you withdraw back from this state of normalcy. The mind was withdraw from the state and you look. Wow. Okay. Now, who am I going to confide now? They will say I'm crazy. Yeah, it's true. When I talk to my friend, they say, "Hey, I think you go crackle." Then we don't talk. Right. Straight away, we went to our teacher. But at that time, Ajahn Chah was in America already. I went to my teacher. 700 kilometers away. You know. Just to report. Lumpur. I meditate in this, blah, 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 blah. He said, okay, man, that should be the way. That should be the way, King. Do it some more. Do it until you die. You see, he never said, stop. You're against. No, he said, do it until you die. You see? My teacher, no Puchia, the teacher that after Thun Ajahn Chah, I follow Lung Puchia. You see, and like I told you this morning, he's the kind of very rough type, very rugged, you know. He don't give a damn. So when I report to him, sort of, okay, you got to do it, okay? Do this way. repeat again and again and again and again, and you don't worry that you're repeating the same old thing, because inside, the real wisdom will rise within yourself, not from outside anymore. And yeah, it's true. It's true, right? So I hope that this Dharma sharing might shed some light for certain people who are stuck of what you're going to do next. Or you have the doubts of, am I doing correctly? So if you're back to this body into impermanence, into suffering, very stressful, into no self, you are on the right path, right? You are on the right path. Don't worry. Don't worry, someone from somewhere who come and tell you, say that, no, the book never say this. No, that is books. When your mind manifests itself, when your mind have that kind of understanding, it's beyond wordings of descriptions, it's beyond words to describe, because you yourself can only know that, well, you're very confident. And the mindfulness is so powerful that sometimes you think you're sleeping, but you're not sleeping. Sometimes you thought, did I off my light? And you open your eyes, it's dark. You close your eyes, you want to sleep, it's just brightness. You thought, what is that? So this is a kind of happening, it will happen to meditators. So don't be alarmed, right? Why I want to tell these things is because certain people, they thought they got some, they go nuts. They go and see a psychiatrist. How come I see light at night? And then they will give you Valium to sleep. They will give medicine to make you fall asleep that, don't worry, nothing. Nothing. So if you practice correctly, you don't worry. You don't worry. Yeah? The nature will take care of itself. It's okay. Yeah, no problems. Right? Whether, how people are going to look at you or what, is no more an issue anymore. Whether people say that, he speaks so roughly, this and that. It's okay. It's okay. Leave it to me. Right? So the happiness that come from the heart, you go anywhere on earth, you can stay, no problems. Right? No problems. We have tried. All kinds of hardship, we've been through all kinds of hardship. We purposely put ourselves into different kinds of tests. While the thunder strike, go and sit under the rain. Sit on the cliff. If you drop, you die. Whether there's fear or not. Right? Sit in a place, all kinds of tests. Because we are Buddhist monk. Right? We want to test out that, is it true that there's no fear? Is it true that there's no greed, no hatred, no delusion? You got to put through the test. When you go through the test, you put yourself through all kinds of challenge and test. But of course, we're not going to kill ourselves, no. We're not going to commit suicide and hang our neck on the rope and see whether I die, sure die. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do the kind of training, for example, fear. What I fear for? Before that, darkness. Fear of what? Darkness. Fear of what? Snake. Rattlesnake. Okay, find a place, get a platform, sit there. And you see how this fear arises. How are you going to tackle the fear? Fear of ghosts. Fear of darkness. So you sit in a coffin. Next to the coffin. And see how your mind makes story. You see? And how you overcome the fear. And this is how we practice to make it interesting in the practice. For monks, for monks. Then it will be very interesting. It will be very interesting. Why the Buddha encouraged the monk to go into the wood. Have you seen any sutta the Buddha encouraged the monk to go to the city? Or go to the shopping center? Or go to here and no. Go to the wood. Rukkamun se nasanang, rukkamun se nasanang. Rukkamun se nasanang, nisaya papaccha. When we ordain, the four things a monk should do, observing the three ropes, Bintapatang. That means we go and ask for food. A monk should be easily fed, right? And Rukamuna say Nasananisaya Papaja, stay under the trees. Exceptional is Kuti, right? So we are very comfortable here, like a heaven, right? One metta is just like a heavenly abbots where all the devas stay. You guys are all devas, monks and lay people. You know, we are all devas because our mind bear the same kinds of approach. You see, we want to purify our mind. So that's why for tonight, that will be my sharing, and I hope it can be of good use to some of you, not all of you, right? And should I a bit too harsh, I say the apology, right? I got no intention to run down on any other meditator, no. But that was my style of speaking, right? Because as I say, when we meditate, we don't pre-plan what will happen next. We just be neutral and onto the object, right? So meditate and until the time is up.